We're on the record. I'm senior producer Melissa Gear in for Sheila Cast. Good morning. Monday is Maryland Day. A legal holiday since 1916, it commemorates the day two ships, the Ark and the Dove, arrived on March 25, 1634, in what is now St. Mary's County on the Chesapeake Bay. The English Catholic settlers, led by Leonard Calvert, came to establish a colony after a long, treacherous journey spurred by their desire for religious freedom. They did not, however, disembark into a land devoid of human settlement. Tomorrow, from 1 to 4 p.m., a commemoration of Maryland Day is planned at Maryland Hall in Annapolis, but with a focus on the vibrant Native American communities, past and present, that call what is now Maryland home. Here to tell us about it is Maryland Hall Director of Programming, Bilgesu Sisman. Welcome to On the Record, Bilgesu.
Hi, thanks for having me, Melissa.
First, can you talk a little bit about Maryland Hall? Like, what kinds of events happen there?
Absolutely. So Maryland Hall has a history that goes back to it being a high school in the area, a white-only high school, actually. And it got integrated. After that, it closed down and moved to a different location. And there was a group of artists in the area who took it over and turned into an art center. So it has been operating since then. Right now, we are hosting arts education, outreach programs, as well as performances by our resident companies and performances that are initiated by us, that are curated by us.
Ah, okay. And so lots of things are open to the public, but there's also a focus on bringing students in for programming.
Yeah, we are looking into making sure that the students in our area is like connected and we are able to serve our community by opportunities that they might not be able to like access if they were not here.
And from what I can tell, too, there's a strong educational component even to the public programming. It's not just, I mean, and there's nothing wrong with showing up and seeing something fun, but you also have educational programs and things, right?
Yeah, educational and community engagement programs, because we believe that programs really become meaningful when audiences and artists have the chance to connect with each other, to engage with each other, learn from each other, and like create these like bonds. So it's not a passive consumption of like performance,
sure,
but something that's more interactive and that really like builds community.
And how did you decide to program the Maryland Day events with this focus on Indigenous people and arts?
So I'm new to Maryland. I moved to Baltimore in June of last year when I accepted my current position. And one of the things that you realize when you go to Annapolis is that there is a lot of like celebration and acknowledgement of the colonial history of the place, both because it's like still preserved and it's like buildings, but also because it is something celebrated. Something that I was not seeing was the history and the celebration of the cultures that was already there before the settlers came on the land. So I wanted to use this opportunity to kind of like highlight this history that, to my knowledge, has not had the chance to be, you know, acknowledged as much as the settlers' history there.
This is On the Record. I'm Melissa Gear speaking with Bilgesu Sisman, Program Director for Maryland Hall in Annapolis. We're talking about their events for Maryland Day. The holiday commemorates when settlers first arrived in St. Mary's County nearly 400 years ago. And I want to invite now into the conversation two of the presenters that will be with you tomorrow. Rico Newman is a member of the Choptico Band of Piscataway Kanoe Confederacy and is a member of its Elders Council. He's also a tribal historian and researcher, and he's joining us via Zoom. Welcome to On the Record, Rico.
Glad to be here.
Also with us is Lewis Campbell, educator, dancer, and program coordinator at the Baltimore American Indian Center. Campbell is a member of the Lumbee and Blackfoot tribes. Welcome back to On the Record, Lewis.
Thank you.
Rico, as we've heard Bilgesu mention, Maryland Hall is offering a platform to fill in some of the excluded Indigenous history surrounding Maryland's colonization. And I know there's a lot, but what are some of the points that you hope to get across tomorrow to visitors?
Well, you mentioned that there's a celebration coming up. Matter of fact, there are two on the horizon. There is the Maryland 450th, and there's another celebration coming up, the advent of the United States 250th anniversary. Left out of that mix is the thousands of years of history that preceded the arrival of quote unquote settlers. So we look to from our side of it, from outside looking in, we want to have an opportunity to have a venue to remind people that there was a vibrant culture existing here. And because it's not documented, people tend to believe that there was a void or that there was no vibrant culture existing here. And it is a very long, hard road to try to reestablish that, to convince people, and I mean convince people, that that's the case. And so we have to use every opportunity we get, like Merlin Hall and other venues, to where we can step forward and inform and educate the public on information that they're not going to get by any other means.
And are there, and I know we're talking about, like you mentioned, thousands of years of history, but kind of honing in a little bit on when this group of European settlers arrived on the shores of the Chesapeake Bay. I mean, can you paint a picture a bit of who was here?
Well, you had a very extensive array of tribes along the waterways for major reasons. Number one, the waterways was the means of transportation of getting from point A to point B. There were no horses, there were no wagons, so that was a major means of transportation. It was also places where during the spring, when you had inundations of water, just as we know about Egypt and the Nile rising up out of its banks, and when it goes back, it leaves all of this fertile alluvial soil that's great for planting crops. The same thing was taking place here. So we lived along the waterways where there was rich soil to plant our crops. We had stopped being wandering folks a long time ago. We were sedentary, living in fixed places, rotating from field to field, planting crops. These were the same places that the Europeans saw as vital to their own survival. So somebody had to go. Wasn't enough room for all. So ultimately, the native people would be displaced, ultimately dispossessed of their land, forced inland to find a new way of subsistence and of living. While the Europeans who came here looking, as stated in documents, they were only looking for a place to sit down to exercise their religion without being set upon. But that wasn't the case. It was about more than just being able to exercise one's religious rights. Calvert came here with a charter, and many people don't bother to read that charter as to what it indicates. Every inch of this land, every inch of it, was his by virtue of the rights of his king, who, by the virtue of the rights of his being a chosen one, and with what they call papal bulls being written, stating that these commands, if you will, came from on high, that if they went to places where there was no Christian prince, then they had every right to take the land.
That was written into the I looked at the charter. There's a copy of the charter that's available in PDF form online, and this is from King Charles, given to
Correct.
his sons. So basically, what you're saying is they, by the power of the king, they kind of had access to the land. It was kind of a done deal. They kind of pretended to have to talk to people.
Exactly. It was a front. I mean, the meeting with the Tayac to ask permission to sit down to exercise their religion, that was a farce. So it started off that way, and not a whole lot has changed when you look at the current circumstances of the indigenous people in this area. And after the hundreds of years of celebrating Maryland, we still are in a position where we have to climb a very steep hill. Reminds me of that old Greek tale about Sisyphus. I mean, we are pushing a boulder trying to recover what we lost, and knowing that we're never going to recover it all, and much of it we don't want to recover it all. I like central air conditioning. We don't want to go back to some ways, but at the same time, our culture, our spirituality, and our ways of life, our worldview, we need to do what we can to salvage that. Nobody bothered to document it, but with enough effort and enough time, we've been able to retrieve a lot of what was lost. It's a lifetime effort, but it's worth every day that we spend in doing so.
And I know you have spent a lot of your time and work in those efforts. I'd like to play a clip from a song by the Xotai Singers. Lewis, you're performing tomorrow with Dennis Xotai. This was recorded just earlier this month at the 48th Annual Denver March Powwow. Lewis, what will you be doing for your performance tomorrow?
I will be performing Northern traditional dancing. I have a singer and three dancers, Dennis Xotai, Katie Isenach, and Modesta will be performing two female dancers and one traditional dancer. And then Dennis will sing, and then possibly we'll get the audience involved and do a round dance.
Great.
If that's possible with the space that we have.
And I've seen you perform. It's beautiful. Bilgesu, there is also quill art tomorrow. Talk about that.
So we're going to have Ayanna Proctor with us, who's an enrolled member of the Piscataway Nation Turtle Clan with Susquehanna ancestry. And she drives inspiration from her Eastern woodland heritage. She's an award-winning indigenous artist as well as a quill worker, and she's going to be exhibiting her crafts before Lewis's performance. The quill work includes porcupine hide, pulled quills, and finished work on brantan and birch bark. And she's also going to be showing some various animal hides as well as leather in different stages to show the kind of like process that is involved in these traditional crafts. And there's also going to be some shells and beads. And she's going to be there before the performance to engage with our audience and to answer any questions that they might have with regards to her arts and crafts.
What do you hope visitors take away from these events tomorrow?
So I'll start with like saying what the mission of Maryland Hall is. Our mission is very simple. It's art for all. And I believe in order to actually execute that mission, you have to make conscious effort to include arts coming from all different like backgrounds of like people, as well as art that can speak to different people. So we are hoping that this kind of like program enables some kind of like counter narrative to the celebration of European settlers, and also enables our audiences to like educate themselves with regards to its history and get to like know all these like different forms of like arts and crafts that are not out there. I know that contemporary artists can find inspiration in these traditional arts, but it's also like I think it's a great opportunity for people to see like living artists working in these traditional realms. So that's something I would like our audience to take away from it.
And Lewis, what about you? You kind of devote a lot of your life to performing and engaging with audiences. What do you hope people take away from this?
I just hope they realize that we are still here. We might live in the cities, but we don't live the way that people think all Native Americans live. We all didn't live in teepees. We all didn't eat the same foods. We're all different. No matter what tribe we come from, you know, we're different. We're not the same. We don't look like all the natives on TV. We're completely different, and just know that we love our culture, and we love our people, and we just want to thrive.
And Rico, as a tribal elder and historian, what does it mean for you to have a focus on Native American communities during this commemoration of Maryland Day?
Well, I attempt to drill down to a particular topic or subject that people can walk away from, because I'm never at a loss to discuss things from 13,000 years ago all the way up to what we anticipate the future will be. But leaning on what Lewis was saying, when I was working at the National Museum of the American Indian, we put together a book called Do All Indians Live in Teepees? And it speaks to the fact of the stereotypes that most people have about Native people. So I would like for people to walk away with that image, that Indian that everyone has in their head, that they do some modifications, because you can't hold that picture out to everyone and say, funny, you don't look like one. So if anything, I would like for them to walk away with knowing how diverse our communities are. And when you've seen one, you ain't seen them all. And hopefully they'll understand that, yes, this is Maryland. Yes, this is part of the United States. But you understand that it's also the homeland of Native people. And I hope that's their takeaway.
What does it mean to you personally that this acknowledgement is happening on Maryland Day?
I'm glad that it's happening. You know, I see this event and others that have happen, and those that will happen, it's like a relay race. This is like a cultural relay race for us. And what I'm doing is running my segment of this race. And ultimately, I will pass the baton on to the next generation. And my hope is that the next generation won't be so subsumed with what they see every day around them that will distract and pull them away from the culture. So you know, that's what I see these as opportunities to showcase my event, my time on the track, so to speak, while I'm running my race, so that when those who are waiting that I will pass the baton to, they'll know what they're picking up on and what they will have to do for their segment of this race, because it is not over.
Thank you. And thank you all for this conversation. Have a really wonderful event tomorrow.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Aho.
Bilgesu Sisman is Program Director for Maryland Hall in Annapolis. We've been talking about the events for Maryland Day, commemorating the arrival of settlers 390 years ago on March 25, 1634. Lewis Campbell, Lumbee and Blackfoot tribe member, will be performing, and Rico Newman, tribal historian and member of the Choptico Band of Piscataway-Kanoi Confederacy, will be speaking at the event. We have more information about this and other Maryland Day events at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. Short break on the record. When we're back, a Stoop story. I'm senior producer Melissa Gear in for Sheila Cast. Stay with us.